Today I'm in Nailsy with Chris Hughes. So thank you for seeing me here today, Chris. So the first question for everybody is, when and where did we first meet?
We must have met in Winford.
Yep.
But I really can't think when, and I must have, many years ago.
Well, I was saying to Mary that we moved to Winford in 97, the beginning of 97. So we probably met you sometime.
Probably better
in
1997 when you first moved there.
Yeah. Well, I might have met you first in Felton. I don't know. I can't remember whether it was in church in Winford or actually at your house. She's in Felton.
I really can't remember.
No.
And I might well have been away when you first came. So 97, yeah. I was still sailing deep seas and out in Far East and things.
You're still a very exotic sea captain in 1997.
Not so exotic, but a sea captain.
Do you drink tea?
I do drink tea, yes.
And what's your favourite sort of tea?
It must be Earl Grey, full-blooded Earl Grey.
Okay. Do you have a favourite time for drinking that?
Afternoon tea.
Afternoon tea.
Although I do have a cup of tea in the morning, which is probably normal. Well, I often have, always, nearly always have a cup of tea in the morning with Mary, first thing.
Mm-hmm. So, how do you respond to the statement, Christianity in the UK is not dying but sleeping?
I would tend to agree with that. What I think is dying is the traditional traditional beliefs of Christianity. A lot of the Church of England, old churches, and you can see that the congregations are very old. And when they've died, you can't see anybody coming up. What I can see, I don't know whether Mary said before, we've just been to see having our granddaughter dedicated in Freedom Church in Romsey, and that was very alive, young people, and a congregation of about 150, 200 in a small town of Romsey. So there are pockets, I think, of thriving Christian communities. But I think the traditional churches is dying, and I think also that the Christian community has to adapt to modern ways of worshipping, and to wake up. As you might say, mm-hmm. people who are not Christians, I think a lot of people do have a belief, but a lot of people don't realise they have it, and when they come into a crisis, then they will think about or pray to somebody in their own way, and I think that this is something that can be worked on to wake up the church.
One of the reasons why I chose this statement, it's not my statement, it was written in an article by Tim Stanley, is because the evidence from where I am is contradictory. It's got to the point now where almost nothing I can do will get people to come to church on a Sunday morning.
Right.
But people are coming to our other Christian church activities during the week, either services that we're running, children's services, but not Sunday morning. And it's something which I'm kind of trying to explore. Do we let Sunday morning just drift? Do we keep on trying to work on Sunday morning, or do we kind of work on the other things? So church on Friday afternoon for families. We've got a big family service in Killearn, which happens once a month on a Friday afternoon, where we might have 20 or 30 children, 20 or 30 adults in a village church setting, but they don't come on a Sunday generally. That's part of our challenge, is our context.
Do you think radically changing the service on a Sunday would bring them,
No, I think they just can't come on a Sunday.
Yeah.
I think the families are all either with each other because it's the only time that they are together as a family and don't want to spend that time coming to church, whatever the church is like, or at rugby, or at ballet, or at dancing, or somebody's work. I mean, sometimes it's the only family time, but sometimes one of the parents is at work on a Sunday, of course. So, I don't know.
I don't know.
It's all very complicated. I sent you a difficult question. What was the most challenging thing for your faith about being away on ship?
The most challenging, I think, probably was being on my own as a Christian, mm-hmm. Not having anybody to talk to about my faith, really, who could respond. And in some ways, I felt, well, I feel that there are various stages. I feel I'm sort of with God, if you get what I mean, or with the Holy Spirit, I feel more in tune with God in different stages. And being at sea, away from Mary, away from everybody, away from my church, probably the lowest, mm-hmm. and the highest. From there is sent going to places like New Wine or Spring Harvest, where you've got mm-hmm. thousands of Christians, and you can feel I can really feel the Holy Spirit there. And between that is sort of like being at home, mm-hmm. being at church, at sort of different levels.
Mm. I think I have a real thing that, but I don't like the phrase "when God turns up" because I think it's very anti-theological. But I think there are.
Yes.
I think we have to believe that God is everywhere all the time, but I think there are times when we are able to pay better attention to God, and I think I would rather use that phrase than God's turning up. But yeah,
it's not. I don't think so much as God turning up as us being in tune with mm. God, and I can feel. No, when you've got a lot of other, if you're on your own, I find it. With other people who mm-hmm. are not Christians, I find that quite so difficult. But just difficult to tune to God. If I go out for a walk with Gabby, with our dog, for instance, and there I can feel I'm there at nature. I'm on my own, but mm-hmm. I still feel God's presence in there mm-hmm. with nature. But when I'm out at sea, I find it yes. It is quite probably the worst. That was probably the where I feel less in tune with God than anywhere else.
Did you have any sort of church trappings with the ship? Did you have to do any sort of Christian services or anything?
No. Nope. I never married anybody as a captain, and I don't know where that came in because we don't actually learn about anything like that. I haven't as a captain, we didn't have any services or anything like that. When in the year 2000 I changed jobs and I became a pilot mm-hmm. in the North mm-hmm. Sea, and I can tell you the story, it doesn't mm-hmm. really matter. When I felt our children were teenagers, and I felt I needed to spend more time at home, or more regular time at home, rather than spending months away at sea. So I felt this mm-hmm. was the right thing to do, was to actually change jobs. But for changing jobs, we went to our local vicar and said, "Please pray for us and give us, if you get an inspiration, mm-hmm. whatever." He said, "I see you at sea. You're a sailing, but it's calm waters and it's all good." And I said, I thought, well, he's got this wrong. I know sometimes that they get it wrong. And I thought, well, he's got this wrong. But in fact, I ended up being a pilot in the North Sea, still sailing on ships. Mm-hmm. And everything seemed to slot into place mm-hmm. that should be right. And I was just away for 2 weeks at a time. I could be here, so it mm-hmm. wasn't very much. And so I had more regular time with our children. And I thought, well, I felt that I was there for a purpose, God's purpose as well. And what happened was that I was away for 2 weeks at a time working with guys on the ship, and often we would have quite a long time on the bridge with these people, and I could have conversations with those guys. And then when we'd actually been out to the Logos, to the Doulos and Logos Hope, I had a picture of the ship on my computer, and I used my computer for navigation, and when I opened up the picture of the ship, they said, "Oh, what ship is that?" I tell them, and then I could talk about it. It's a very easy way to talk about my faith. And I do remember one particular time I was on a ship, and we'd had a night on the bridge, came back down for breakfast. I was having breakfast on my own, and I heard some Christian music coming from the galley. Mm-hmm. And so I went and saw, and there was the galley boy, who was the lowest of the low on the ship. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like you start off as the galley boy, and then you can become kind of steward, but even, yeah. So, but anyway, I went and said, oh, hello. I said, you're a Christian? He said, yes. He said, I said, you're a Christian? I said, yes. And he said, straight out of the blue, would you need a Bible study for us? So I thought, wow, yes, okay. And he got together three or four guys, maybe half a dozen guys, and they brought along a guitar. We had a bit of singing. I had some of my Bible reading notes with me. I just read from them, and it was a really good fellowship time. I thought, right, yes, God, this is really good. Mm. It never happened again. But I, for that one purpose, it's such a, I felt really, it was really, really good. And it sort of highlighted the fact that I was actually, I don't know how many people that I've actually, I don't know of anybody I can say who I brought him to Christ or brought to become through me has become a Christian. But I just feel that some of the ways that I've been and been on these ships, I sort of imparted some of my faith onto others as I've met them.
Or encourage people along the way. It sounds like that was probably a great encouragement for those people.
Yeah.
For you to be there with them. So what is your favourite thing about being at sea?
Oh, driving the ship. Coming in and out of port when I'm actually, certainly on the Logos Hope, I mean, it's the most stressful time, but on the other hand, when you do it properly, it's real, gives me a real buzz and sense of satisfaction. Right, I've docked the ship without actually hitting anything.
Come and drift very slightly and kiss the edge.
one time I did actually get it terribly wrong, but I won't.
Let's not dwell on that.
I won't dwell on that. I actually put her alongside another ship rather than the quay and put a hole in the bow. Anyway.
Yeah.
It wasn't entirely my fault. Mm. It was my fault, but it wasn't entirely my fault. There were circumstances and various other things. And that was on the Logos Hope. And after that, they let me back driving the ship again. But driving the ships. And that is one of the reasons why I became a pilot. Another reason why I became a pilot in the North Sea, because that's what I was doing rather than sat in my office or cabin sending emails, ordering stores, or doing the papers for the next port, or working, having some of the crew complaining about various things and having to sort things out like that, which really I didn't really quite enjoy so much.
So I put down as a question, tell me about being in charge of the Logos Hope, but also there was the Doulos as well, and then there's another Logos ship that you've been on too, haven't you?
First, can I tell you how we actually came to be there? When I first became a Christian at Spring Harvest, there was a general call for mission, and they said, think about going into mission. I said, oh, I'm not a missionary. That's not my scene. It's not really nothing. So anyway, then we went to the resource centre, and there we actually had some ships sailing around the sea, around the world. I thought, well, that is something I could probably do. And the Anastasis came into Portbury, which is Mercy ships, and the Doulos came into Southampton. So we went to both those ships with the view of possibly joining one of those organisations, and they took my name, and I got a call a few years later, a couple of years later, saying would I go out and join the Doulos for a couple of months to relieve a chief mate who was wanting to go on leave, and so I thought, well, this is something that I could do because our children had gone to university or were doing something else, and we didn't have to be at home. Because I wanted Mary to come with me because I've been away for half my life while we've been together. So I didn't really want to sort of go off and do things on my own. So Macy wanted Mary to come with me. So it ended up us joining the Doulos in Colombo, and we sailed for 2 months. And I was going to go out there for 2 months and say, right, this is my bit for God. That would be it, and I could carry on with the rest of my life. When I joined the ship, they said, you'll be back. I said, no, this is only coming for 2 months. You'll be back. And we were back for 10 years, 15, 10 years after. It was 12 years we were on and off the ships, working on board the ship. What was the question? Sorry.
I think it was just tell me about the time that you spent with those ships, really.
So that's how we got involved. And first ship was the Doulos, I was chief mate. Normally you would start off at a lower rank so that you could know the systems, but they needed somebody desperate, and there was to actually take over and hire the certificate. I went in quite sort of naive as to what was actually required, and it was a bit of a steep learning curve. We have thousands of visitors to the ship every day, and in Sri Lanka, they'd had some issues with political issues, and they had to leave Colombo, which is where I was going to join. We joined actually in, I forgot the name of the point, Gaul.
Oh.
So, and when we were there initially, because they weren't expecting us, they had to leave Colombo. There was very few visitors, and suddenly on the day that we were officially opened, it was suddenly thousands. And there was a call, general. I'd been on the ship for 2 or 3 days, and everything seemed to be sort of ticking along quite nicely. And suddenly there was a call over the tannoy, you know, an emergency. I thought, what's all this about? Because I wasn't quite. Anyway, fortunately, other people knew what they were doing. Mm. But it's basically supposed to be my job to organise these people and to go and actually do crowd control for these thousands of visitors coming to the ship. And there was a queue outside the gate. Over 2 miles long, of people wanting to join the ship, wanting to come on board the ship, and it's not unusual for that sort of thing to happen, but it was for me when I first joined, so that's a bit steep learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the time when we were on board, we were in port on the ship, not that much time at sea, more so than, say, the Mersey ships, which spend very little time at sea.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, at sea, that is where I really come in the fact that I there to get the ship from A to B safely, and to run basically for navigation. Although we do have 3 or 4 other officers doing the watches, but I'm overall charge of all that when I'm on sea. But also the main thing is safety on board, and the operation side is where I come in, and I found myself very much involved with that and doing that. Very little did I do on the ministry side, which I was reasonably comfortable with, because I feel that is what I'm here for. Whether it's right or wrong, I perhaps also sometimes ought to get out of my comfort zone, but I feel that I'm a facilitator rather than to facilitate others for ministry.
But I think that's a very specific gift, isn't it? Because the fact that they were desperate for you to go to the Doulos and into such a senior role originally, and what a wonderful placing of your gifts into that place where they needed you for the whole ministry to happen. Because if you weren't there, the whole ministry couldn't have happened in that way, could it?
That's right. That's the way I look at it, and every time we go out. I said no, I didn't want to go out as a sort of passenger or as for my own benefit, but I wanted to go out to serve and so that they could actually operate. There was a time when I had been out and I came back and somebody else had taken over as I was captain, and they said probably we won't need you anymore, and I felt really sad. I thought, well, I feel they've still got a bit more to give.
Mm.
6 months later, they phoned me up. Chris, we are...
We need a captain.
I do remember, I was actually on my boat in Corfu with my mobile phone, and I had to call. What's Keith Ross phoning me for? Chris, when can you get out to the Doulos? Will the captain's go?
I'm in the Mediterranean.
I'm in the Mediterranean. Right, perhaps not tomorrow. No. But we did actually go out a couple of weeks later, and we were able to go. And we went, that's another good time. And every time I've been out to the ship. It's been different. Mm-hmm. Different countries, sometimes the same country. But always I felt at peace that that's where I should be. And to, as I say, to facilitate others to actually get in, to be involved. And great honour. I found it, especially as captain, because you have all these people looking up to you, and I'm thinking, why? No, but just if I was, I'm not. But I have to realise that they're not looking up to Chris Hughes; they're looking up to the captain.
The captain, and that's the place where God has placed you at that time.
Yes, and sometimes it's you have. I have to sort of like think, no, it's not me. It's
there's a little bit about being a vicar in similar situations. I think actually. Yeah. And so the last question is, what is your favourite thing, beginning with tea?
My favourite thing, Triumph sports car.
A Triumph sports car. That's a good choice. Did you have one?
No.
No.
Okay. I had a Triumph Herald. Uh-huh. I had a Morgan sports car.
But not a Triumph sports car. Well, one day, you never know. You never know. Thank you very much for speaking to me today, Chris. It's been lovely to hear about all sorts of things.
Pleasure. It really is.